So the question was asked, how do we balance midrashim that sometimes seem to contradict other things that we know? And the question was asked, how much rationale can we apply to midrashim that we hear? How much can we rationalize them, especially when they seem to contradict things that that we know logically? So the first thing is that there are many midrashim, and the midrashim can be conflicting. One midrash could say that Esav had a brit milah, but his children, the second Yitzchak passed away, they stopped having a brit milah. Like a king who honors his friend with a crown, and he says, I want you and your offspring always to wear this crown, and his friend always wears the crown. But the second his friend passes away, the king says, let me see what his kids are up to, and he goes and checks the kids, and he sees no one's wearing the crown that he honored them with. That's Esav. Esav were, he had a brit milah, but his children already left it. As opposed to Yaakov, where he and his offsprings, they always, even in when they're about to leave Mitzrayim, they're always careful to have a brit milah. So that's one midrash. And yet there's another midrash that says that because Esav was born red, his father didn't give him a brit milah until he was three years old. And then at three, he decided, you know, we'll wait till 13. And at 13, Esav said, no way, you're not doing that to me. So Esav remained without a brit milah. So you have two different midrashim. One says he had a brit milah, one says he did not have a brit milah. So obviously the midrashim disagree. One medrash says, en mazal Yisrael, the Jews have no mazal. Another medrash says, the Jews can overcome their mazal, seeming to indicate that we have mazal, we're under the same constellations as the non-Jews, but we were given the ability to overcome them. One medrash says that there were seven neviot, and it enumerates certain neviot, and another medrash enumerates other neviot. Who were the seven female prophetesses? So there are many, many examples of midrashim that disagree. Midrashim don't always have to agree. What we have to know is, A, that not all midrashim agree, and B, that midrashim have a deeper meaning. They don't just have the surface meaning. Our sages use the stories to conceal deep philosophical concepts of Judaism. They hid them within the midrashim. And when a person has a tradition and he knows how to study them, so a lot of Kabbalah is midrashim. The Zohar is a medrash like the Medrash Rabbah. You read Zohar, you read all kinds of interesting stories. If you know how to understand Zohar, then you understand the secrets behind those stories. So that's regarding the first question about conflicting midrashim. I would just add one more point, and that is that when you hear stories, be it midrashim or another thing that would fall into this category, or the other stories you hear about rabbis and about Hasidish rabbis, don't learn halacha from stories. You want to learn halacha? Learn halacha. We don't learn halacha not from medrash and not from stories. That's not my own opinion. That's quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Rishonim already write that. We don't learn halacha from medrash. So if you hear a medrash that seems to conflict with the halacha you know, stick with the halacha you know. You could ask the question, sometimes there'll be an answer, and sometimes we'll say, yes, this medrash goes with another opinion in halacha that we don't go with. But when it's that kind of conflict, then don't hesitate in going with the halacha you know. At best, ask the question, and we'll see if there's an answer. As far as rationalizing, so that's the second question, that's what we'll get to now. What we're studying on Fridays is the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin, and that's exactly the question that the Rambam is addressing now. Where we're holding now, the Rambam is addressing how we're supposed to understand what Chazal tell us that seems to conflict with our knowledge of science, of this world. And the Rambam says that there is a deeper understanding, and a person has to know that if he reads Chazal and it sounds childish or it sounds like it doesn't make sense, well, there are very, very smart people. And if this is what they said, then obviously they meant something else. And we don't know what they meant. It must have had some deep meaning. Sometimes we know what that deep meaning is. Sometimes we don't. When I quote to you a deep meaning in Chazal, almost always, I would say always, only I'm not that confident in myself. But I try to make sure that whatever I tell you that is not the simple understanding of Chazal, it's something that I have a source for what I'm saying. I don't quote the sources because I think it would tire you guys if I kept quoting sources. If I told the Rambam this, the Rambam that, I feel it would just confuse you. So that's why very often I quote things without the sources. But even when you hear me quoting rationalizations of Midrashim, almost always, if not always, I'm really quoting someone. I'm not saying my own opinion. So before a person tries to say, oh, the Medrash meant this or the Medrash meant that, a person has to be very, very careful. A person has to have a tradition, he has to have the sources. Why would you say the Medrash means something else? So you could say, I don't know what the Medrash means. The Medrash must have a deeper meaning, which I don't know. But to say that the Medrash has a deeper meaning, and the deep meaning is such, that's very dangerous. You understand, people say that there are many Midrashim that aren't to be taken literally, and they end up leaving the whole Torah. You know, the second you say things aren't to be taken literally, you're opening a Pandora's box. And where to apply it, so that we say you have to have a tradition to know how and where to apply it.
Just on this, different people relate to things differently. On a practical level, how far do we learn with Rashim at this early stage without the Masorah, without the background? Some people, for example, are much more into this story, they can relate to them, you know, from different backgrounds. They will hear a Medrash, let's say, that would be like a very beautiful story, very, you know, supernatural in its thing, and they will be very comfortable with it. I'm one of those. Sometimes when I hear something, despite recognizing that there is the supernatural, is a part in Judaism, some things seem to be going so against my mind that I've got a problem digesting them. And I'm afraid that sometimes, you know, these questions might develop with something more. So at such a point, do you have how much power do we have to explain this according to our own?
You could say maybe Chazal meant this and maybe Chazal meant that, so long as you remember that it's a maybe. The problem is that people usually remain with that maybe. They think that they say maybe, but really in their minds they decide that's what Chazal meant. That's the problem. A person could say maybe Chazal meant this or that. As far as learning Midrashim, so Chazal told us that if a person wants Yirat Shemaim, that you get from Midrashim. When you read the stories and you hear the fascinating stories, that helps a person get Yirat Shemaim. If a person feels that he's logical, and when he reads Midrashim, that causes him to have questions, what did the rabbis mean, what were they talking about, and he has problems with it, so he doesn't have to read that. He'll get his Yirat Shemaim from other things.
The Midrashim, for example, we learn, is there explanation of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are many Pirushim. What I quoted on Pirkei Avot Ezra, I think everything, almost everything, there was one thing I said it seems that about, what did I say that? I don't remember. So everything else I quoted was from Perushim, from Radal, Rav David Luria, from Malzu, from different Perushim on the Pirkei Avot Ezra.
This was also born at the Torah. When you read the Torah and you take everything without any explanation by the rabbis, sometimes you get very distorted views of it.
For sure.
You can't get them. And I was scandalized by some of the stories in Tanakh, you know.
That's what we said in our introduction to Tanakh. That a person should really not learn Tanakh unless he has the tradition. To learn Tanakh without the tradition, one could make the most major errors. One could end up not religious totally by learning Tanakh without Chazal.
Is that the root of problem you have with that? There's a sense of fury you got with, you had with the head of the Karaites, and with the, or was it different?
I don't know the history. I don't know the history of the Machlokt with the Kari. I don't know. Gentlemen, anything else? You guys want to go over?
Did you do Parshat Shavuot before I came a little late?
We did not do Parshat Shavuot.